Good morning, everyone. We're trying something different today so that we can have more musicians in the sanctuary. So I'm going to be with you today from our living room. So welcome to worship. Today I'm going to be speaking about John the Baptist, and primarily the fact that even though he was right there with Jesus, even though he was calling people to prepare the way for Jesus, to get their lives sorted out, when he appeared, John didn't recognize in this very ordinary looking, humble man from Nazareth that he was in fact the Son of God. So here is the call to worship and the opening prayer this morning. As God sent Christ to us, so Christ sends us into the world. We are here to proclaim Christ in word and in deed. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all of the ways that we try to proclaim you in word and in deed. We thank you for giving us the courage and the wisdom and the humility that it takes to reflect the light of your love into the lives of one another. We don't always do a great job at it. But Lord, thank you for encouraging us to persist. Thank you for your example to us in Jesus Christ and in John the Baptist. Lord, we thank you for all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, praise team. We're going to have just a little bit of time with the children now. So if there are children who are part of the Zoom service, welcome to you. I miss not being with you at the church, but hopefully that time is coming sooner rather than later. Today we're going to talk about what it's like when you see someone or something, but you don't really recognize who that is or what's going on. So today we're talking about this man called John the Baptist, about whom I have spoken to you before. This wild looking guy in the wilderness, and his clothing was all made from animal hide, and he ate berries and honey and even some bugs. So he was a pretty wild-looking guy, but somehow God had spoken to him and called him to gather people and help them try to get in their heads and in their hearts that something incredible was about to happen, that the Son of God was going to come and be with them on earth and in their neighborhoods, and walking around from place to place, being with people, trying to help them in all sorts of ways. So when that finally happened, John, even though he had been told very clearly what was to happen, John did not recognize Jesus. And he didn't recognize him until he baptized him in the Jordan River, where they stood in the river and Jesus fell back into John's arms and went under the water, and then John pulled him up out of the water. And as he did that, John heard this voice from heaven. And it was the voice of God saying, "John, this is my Son. My Spirit lives in him." And all of a sudden, John saw in this very ordinary looking man something very special, something divine and holy, that he was the Son of God. He was Jesus Christ, this man. So this week, as you're at home with your mom or your dad or both, or maybe you're with a grandparent, I know, I think Riker and Annika, I think they're with their grandparents. I went over to their house to visit, but no one was home. But their mom told me that they are with their grandparents. So whoever you're with, I want you to look and see if, look very clearly and deeply into whoever you're with and see if you can see anything of Jesus in them. We know that Jesus was very kind and patient and helpful and unselfish. So in your brother or sister or mom or dad or grandparent or aunt or uncle, whoever it is you get to be with, or even people who you see over Zoom or here on the telephone, or that you're messaging on your computer, see if you see or experience any of those things, like kindness and generosity. And if you do, recognize that as an expression of Jesus Christ, an expression of God living and working through those people. So that's your homework this week. Just as John was trying to recognize in this person something of God, that's what I want you to do this week. Look around you and see where you can recognize God in the life of someone else. God bless you this week. I'm going to ask Gwen Cullen to do a mission announcement, and then Gwen will continue with the scripture reading for today. Welcome, Gwen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Sean and Susan Hahn, for this opportunity to share about my trip to Bolivia last year. Some of you may know that I was actually born in Bolivia and to missionary parents, and so this presentation is in part, a very small part, of my trip to Bolivia last year to experience some of the missions where my parents had been. I'm going to focus in on a mission called La Casa de la Amistad, which is Friendship House. But in order to really explain the importance of this mission, I need to give you some historical and background, a cultural background on Bolivia. Bolivia spans the top and east side of the Andes mountain range. Its claim to fame is Lake Titicaca, the world's highest, largest, navigable freshwater lake. At over 12,000 feet above sea level, it spans two countries and almost 8,300 square kilometers. But my trip took me mainly to three cities of interest: La Paz, Oruro, where I lived my parents lived for 4.5 years, and Cochabamba, where we will find La Casa and where I was born. In the 16th century, the country was overtaken by Spain, and the indigenous people became second-class citizens, not like ours here in Canada. These are the two main indigenous tribes, the Quechuan and the Aymaran people. You can tell them apart by the ladies' costumes. Everywhere I went, I encountered ladies in traditional outfits that seemed not to have changed in the last 7 decades. They have kept their culture and languages, although 90% of the Bolivians are of Spanish descent, so Spanish is the main official language. Bolivia remains a country in a perpetual state of revolution. The most recent was just last fall. While I was there, it was common to see armed guards or soldiers or police making arrests, and I heard gunfire every day, and I have never been so thankful for the safety of Canada. But poverty abounds. 88% of the population live in urban areas, but the average annual income is only $5,000 per household. It's the government officials who hold most of the wealth. So first, let's go to La Paz, an incredible city built on several mountainsides with little to no building standards or codes. Often the buildings would never even be completed to avoid paying the 25% government tax. I'm going to show you a very short clip from this video that was taken just last May after heavy rains. Even the traffic seems to have very little rules. Public transportation for the poor is on overcrowded vans or buses. Offer the driver some money and he'll fit you in somewhere. But for the middle class, there are 5 color-coded aerial gondolas that go from mountainside to mountainside. Not far from La Paz is Huatahata, a village on Lake Titicaca that has become cottage country for the wealthy. These gondolas are made out of reeds made by the indigenous tribe called the Urus, meaning reed people. This tribe has lived on floating reed islands in the lake since before the time of the Incas. They survived by hunting and fishing. Now on to Oruro, where every year they host an annual devil dance. Men dress in these costumes and dance for 3 hours down the roads, the streets, to a church where they give thanks for victory of good over evil. It's an eclectic blend of superstition and beliefs. Others may dress as an Ekeko, or a god of abundance and prosperity. They cover their bodies with things representing items that they would like to acquire in the coming year. Most buildings are built with adobe bricks, which are made out of mud and grasses, and then covered with stucco facades. Bullet holes can be seen in almost every building. In 1922, this school was built by the Reverend Archibald Rickey of Canadian Baptist Mission Society. The government would not allow missionaries to talk about Christianity, but they were allowed to teach. So Reverend Rickey taught English and reading by using a Bible and a hymnal. This is the sports complex as you go through the main door behind the school. And our house was built within that complex behind huge brick walls and sealed by this large iron gate. You could see bullet holes in our walls as well. In 1949, Reverend Norman Dabbs, the pastor of the Church of the Resurrected Christ, took his church members on one of his regular trips from Oruro to the village of Potosi, a mining village. It was known as the mountain that eats men because thousands of men lost their lives in the mines every year. After all, it was only a few hours' drive from Oruro on the mountain roads. About 20 men from the church went with Reverend Dabbs, and they were all stoned. Three of them were martyred, including the Reverend Norman Dabbs. This is an artist's rendering of the place where the stoning took place. After Norman Dabbs was martyred, my dad was called to be his successor at the church. So here is a picture of my dad and me and my sister just last year. Now moving on to Cochabamba, where poverty is still so prevalent. But I did find that the cities in Bolivia to be full of stark contrasts. These pictures were taken only blocks from each other. Often the poor live behind these corrugated doors of their 8x10 market stands. I walked through the market on a civic holiday and I could hear radios and kids' voices from behind these doors. Poverty, as we know, often breeds crime. Prison populations run at 2 to 3 times over the capacity for which they were built. And if a prisoner has children with no relatives to take care of them, they are required by law to keep their kids in the prison with them at night. Come daylight, the kids are put out on the street, often to make money for the parents' drug habits. They fend for themselves. The month before I went down, there was a 7-year-old girl found raped and dead in the men's general population. Wasn't the first, and it won't be the last. This is the importance of this mission. So here's a sketch of a city square where we have City Hall along this street, the women's prison down this street, men's prison down this street. And this picture is a picture of this park in the center court. If I had pointed my camera at either of the prisons, I would be risking arrest. So in 1994, the Canadian Baptist Ministries purchased land on this street, and that became where they put La Casa de la Amistad. La Casa is a refuge for children. Not only do they provide education, but also offer meals, clothing, and counseling. And attendance is completely voluntary. Most of the kids come simply out of curiosity. Ironically, our son Sean helped move furniture and supplies into this building before it opened. He was there on a volunteer mission trip at the age of 18. The only paid employee of La Casa is Senora Clara, who not only manages the school, but she's also a psychiatrist. So her training has helped her develop a strong program of healing from abuse with the use of puppets. In recent years, Senora has also built a program for abused women, unwed mothers, and wives with imprisoned husbands. For over 20 years, she has seen children successfully climb out of the cycle of poverty, crime, and drugs. And many have returned to the school to volunteer. So Bolivian Missions has touched my family for over 3 generations. And my dream now is to someday take one or more of my grandchildren back to be able to volunteer at La Casa together. If you're interested in supporting it financially, because if we were in the church building, we would be able to take up an offering. So if you're interested in that, or even if you just want more information, it was difficult to reduce 1,000 and some pictures to this morning's presentation. Please contact me or the church. And I want to thank you for your time. And now let's focus on our scripture for this morning. Please join me in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, please open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to be filled with compassion as we hear your word spoken today. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. The scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 35. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he declared, Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John also testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Gwen, thank you so much for that scripture reading, but also for that mission presentation. It can't help but take us out of our own sense of abundance and safety and luxury and well-being to know that the whole world does not live as we do. That was very, very well done, Gwen. Thank you so much for that. You may have heard me say often that when Jesus arrived on the scene, he was not immediately recognized by the people there as the Son of God. He didn't look or sound like what they thought the Son of God would look like and sound like. He didn't arrive on the scene in some pageantry full of pomp and circumstance. He came in simplicity and humility. He came with a quiet strength. This young man from Nazareth did not meet the expectations that the people had. How is it that the Son of God should be disguised in such ordinary, common demeanor? In fact, even John the Baptist, who devoted himself to helping the people prepare their hearts and their lives for the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, John did not recognize him. Listen to what he says in verse 33 of chapter 1. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Even John the Baptist needed some help identifying that Christ was present. It was only after John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove from heaven that John knew who Jesus really was. Listen again to John's words. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Does it not surprise you even a little bit that John and the gathered crowds did not recognize Jesus as the Son of God? He was right there in the flesh, in their midst. John did not immediately somehow see the face of God in this stranger. It took a bit of time to sink in. One of the benedictions that I often use at the conclusion of worship goes like this. When you leave this place and go out into the world, may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. So today I want to ask you, would you say that you have ever seen the face of God or the face of Jesus in another person? Is there anyone, or are there a lot of anyones, about whom you would say that you have recognized the face of Christ in them? Have you ever been moved by someone who displayed tremendous kindness or generosity or humility, unselfishness, compassion, when you had no expectation for any of those things? People with and without faith in God display these things often. God works in and through people who are faithful believers, as well as people who never acknowledge that God exists. God's love cannot be stopped by you and me. We can be willing, or we can be absolutely unknowing conduits for God's love and mercy to flow through us, whether we believe in God or not. The Reverend Herb O'Driscoll from Calgary writes these words: "It might be our personal prayer that in the encounters of our lives we see Jesus coming. That we see Jesus coming in the disguise of other people. That you and I might see Jesus disguised as other people." Think about that. For you and I to acknowledge that we recognize Jesus in another person requires from us humility and wisdom and a certain maturity. Can you and I be humble and wise, mature, at least enough to recognize the love of God when it comes through and works through another human being, someone we know or someone we don't know? Can you and I be humble enough and wise enough to see the love of God working through a stranger or a Jew or a Muslim or a non-believer? Are you willing to consider this? Today, I want you to consider when you might have seen Jesus in the disguise of someone else. If we were all together in the sanctuary, I would ask you to respond verbally to that question. But today and over the course of the next few days, I really hope that you will reflect on that question. In whose face, in whose life, have you seen Christ? God is love. In whom have you recognized love? In whom have you recognized Jesus Christ? John did not initially recognize that this man from Nazareth was the Son of God. It took him some time, and it took some help for him to know Jesus when he saw him. This week, I had a chance to visit with a few members of our congregation at the end of their driveway. And one of the people I visited was a member who doesn't come to church very often. And I learned that before the COVID virus hit, that she and her kids went on a regular basis to a particular nursing home in Kanata to do a craft workshop with the residents. I learned that out of appreciation for frontline workers during COVID, when she went to the grocery store, she often bought bags of candies or chocolates, and she left them there and told the cashier that she wanted them to have them and just share them with the other cashiers. She and her kids went online and found a stray cat adoption agency. Even though she's very allergic to cats, they have become a foster family and now take in stray cats through this agency and help to prepare these strays for adoption to a new home. Sometimes she and her kids bake cookies and pies and they take them to the local fire station. Love at work, the love of God moving through their lives, touching the lives of others. I also, the same day, visited other members of our congregation and learned that one family was taking birthday treats to another congregation member, and again, with safe distancing, had a time of fellowship with them. I visited another family who makes a point of thinking about people they know in our congregation and not in our congregation, excuse me, who are alone and feeling even more isolated, and are making a point of sending them a card or phoning them or having an online chat with them. God at work through one another. We often do it in a local context. We often ask ourselves how any of this applies to us or our church or our neighborhood, this being the hands and feet of Christ. But, and it follows nicely on the mission work that Gwen was about, and many of you have been about in your own lives, Brian and Muriel and many others. But we need to consider this same work of God through his people globally as well. So I want to take a moment just to consider ways and places where God is at work, where love is at work, disguised as other people around the world, in the lives of educators and social workers, medical personnel, people who work in the slums of Nairobi, in the sex trade industry of the Philippines, in refugee camps in so many countries around the world, in the orphanages throughout Africa, and certainly between the mountains in Bolivia. Dedicated people. The work of God disguised as dedicated people in those places. God at work through them, recognized or not. Consider the work of the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Since 2003, 1,700 initiatives have been funded through that foundation. 1,700. They have partnered with 325 community-based organizations in 15 African countries. Those hardest hit with the AIDS pandemic. They have made a tremendous difference in the lives of so many people through home-based care, grandmother support, orphan care, feeding programs, music, and art therapy. I know that Jean Gallant was part of the grandmother support system. God at work around the world through all sorts of people. My hope is that somehow in the midst of that, the face of Christ does get recognized. The World Food Organization is the food assistance branch of the United Nations. It is the world's largest humanitarian organization, God at work through his people. Most religious denominations have agencies similar to Presbyterian World Service and Development, ministering globally to the needs of hurting people around the world. Love at work through people like you and myself. Doctors Without Borders, WaterCan, Amnesty International, Compassion Canada, Jesus disguised in the faces and the talents of caring men and women. The list goes on and on. Charitable organizations that seek to have a positive and sometimes life-giving impact on the lives of those who are in desperate need. Doing all the things that Christ calls us to do and which he modeled for us in his own lifetime. The hands and the feet of Christ are everywhere. The face of Christ, almost always disguised, can be seen in your own home, in your neighborhood, and around the world. One of the important lessons I think we can learn from John the Baptist is that we're not always able to identify Jesus immediately. John was right there with him. He could talk with the man, look at him, listen to him, but it wasn't until he heard the magnificent voice of God coming down from heaven that he knew, in fact, that this was the Lamb of God upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rested. You and I don't have that luxury to be physically with him or to hear that audible voice from heaven. But Herb O'Driscoll says, if we are willing to humble ourselves, if we are willing to be wise and thoughtful, then you and I, at least from time to time, will be able to see Jesus in the disguise of other people, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, across this wonderful country, and throughout the world. Hopefully, someone at one time or another has seen the face of Jesus Christ disguised as you or me. May you continue, may we continue to humble ourselves, that we might become aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in the many and varied disguises of people all around us and all around the world, and that others might see the face of Christ in you and in me. God bless you on the journey. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example of John the Baptist. We thank you for the example of Gwen and her history in Bolivia. Lord, help us to strive to see and appreciate how you are present in our lives even today, through the lives of people who are compassionate and unselfish, kind, forgiving, generous. And may others, Lord, see those qualities in our own daily living. Lord God, each one of us this morning can take a moment to be aware of people who we want to lift up to you for healing, for peace. Every one of us, Lord, knows people who are suffering, struggling with finances or relationships or health concerns, loneliness. Lord, let us take a minute now, just in the silence of our hearts, to think about those faces and those names. Lord God, we thank you for all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ,
who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offering will now be received. Just in a moment, your doorbell should ring, and there will be someone there with a collection plate to thankfully receive today's givings. If that doesn't happen for some reason, since we are in a morning of technical difficulties, we thank you for contributing via the website, e-transfers, postal services to the Conley residents. They're building a pool in their backyard and appreciate your support. And also Terry is at the church Thursday afternoon for those who want to come and safely donate there. Greatly appreciated. May you go out into the world this day, convinced of God's love for you. And when you do go out into the world, may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. And until we meet again, may God hold each and every one of us in the palm of his hand. Be safe. Amen.